Christ rose from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, the first fruits. And so I say, dear second fruits, who follow Jesus where he has gone. There are so many significant firsts in life. For some of you, they were big significant firsts for the world. You think of things like the first time people landed on the moon. Changed what everyone thought was possible. You think of the first time Apple released the iPhone. Not iPhone 16, 17, or 100, whichever one they're on. But the first time that changed computing, it changed communication. There are also significant firsts in your own life. The first time you rode a bike. The first time you drove a car. The first time you kissed a girl. The first time that person responded back, I love you, and you knew you were going to spend the rest of your life together. Those are happy firsts that seem to change everything for the better. But they're also sad firsts in our lives. I remember the first time I got an F on a quiz. Oh. The first time you fell off that bike. Or the first time you realized, maybe I shouldn't even ride bikes anymore. The first time you really felt ashamed of yourself or someone else, or maybe even your God. And then there's the first time you really come face to face with death. Maybe it was a pet growing up. Or maybe more serious, it was a loved one. These kind of firsts seem to change everything for the worse. But Jesus can change even those firsts. Those are the kind of firsts that Mary Magdalene was going through on Easter morning. There were a lot of firsts going on. You maybe noticed that as we went through John chapter 20. It starts right away, early on the first day of the week. Kind of like today, early, right? On the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. First one there. First one up, first to the tomb. Well, that's a sad first, isn't it? Yippee, I get to be the first one to come put spices to try to cover the smell of the decomposing body of my friend. And then another first. She's the first to panic on Easter morning. The stone had been taken away from the tomb. Oh no! And Mary also the first to offer a false explanation of that empty tomb that people have been trying to explain away ever since. She says, they've taken the Lord. Somebody took him away. He's gone. I don't know where they put him. So she goes and runs and tells the other disciples. She tells Peter and John, and they have some firsts of their own. John makes sure to write it down in his gospel. Peter and John run to the tomb together, but John got there first. Peter comes after, and then he's first to go inside the tomb, and he sees there's no body there, and he sees the grave clothes, like Jesus had just come right through it, the head covering folded off to the side, like he made his bed. And then John, he's the first to believe. It says he saw and believed, even though he didn't understand from the scriptures. Of course, it had to be this way, but is Jesus alive? And then he becomes the first to keep it to himself. He walks right past Mary Magdalene, who's there again, crying outside the tomb, still thinks Jesus is dead, and John just walks past her, doesn't say what he's thinking. And then Mary probably becomes the first person ever to ignore two angels speaking to them in all their glory. They're dressed in glorious white, and they say, woman, why are you weeping? And she doesn't even notice them. Her eyes are so filled with tears, she's frantically looking. I don't know where he is. I can't find him. So she turns around from them, and then she becomes the first to completely ignore the risen Savior right in front of her face. Jesus is there, and he says again, "Woman, why are you weeping?" I don't know where he is. She's turning, she's looking, she thinks he's the gardener. If you took him, can you tell me where he is? I'll take him back myself, I'll carry him. But then the first, that changes everything. Even all the sad firsts she experienced that morning. Mary becomes the first person to hear the risen Savior in all his glory call her name. Mary. Mary. And that first, that joyful first, it changes it all. She becomes the first to turn that morning in faith and see the risen Savior. She looks at him and says, "Teacher!" And what a perfect thing to call him in that moment. "Teacher!" Well, a better teacher than you guys have, even if you think your grade school teacher's the best. Better teacher than we've ever had. What is he teaching her? She turns to him and says, "Teacher." And what has Jesus taught her? With one little word, with that first, Mary. He's taught her that death isn't the end. Not for Jesus. He died to take away her sins. He rose again to tell her she's forgiven, which means she can have eternal life. What a lesson to learn. "Mary," he says, "all those things that had you so worried, that had you so distressed, I'm taking care of it because I'm alive. I'm Lord of life and death. You don't think I can take care of you?" That first, well, changes everything for her. Later in the Bible, that's called the truth of first importance, that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he left that tomb empty. He rose again from the dead in accordance with the Scriptures. First importance. Sometimes we treat it like the last importance, the least important thing. Really, that's how we treat it naturally. Because this story in the garden, she thinks he's a gardener, it really harkens back to the first story of a garden. God created the perfect world. There should have been no death, but there Adam and Eve, they rebelled against God. They wanted nothing to do with him. And that brought a lot of terrible firsts into the world. It brought that first of death, the first of sin. And everybody who would experience it since, all those terrible firsts. But in that garden, God made a promise that another Adam, a second Adam, would come. And through this truth of first importance, change it all and make it right. And bring that truth to us, which would turn our hearts, change our hearts to know that this is the most important thing in the world. Who called it the truth of first importance? The truth you can't live without? It was the Apostle Paul, who hated God. But the risen Savior appeared to him and called him by name. "Saul, Saul, stop it." And it turned him to know that the risen Savior was his risen Savior who died for him and rose for him and changed it all. And so Paul said, "I got to pass this on, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." That truth of first importance came to Paul, and it's come to you. Jesus called Mary by name, Mary. Called Paul by name, they called him Saul. He's called you by name. That's what the good shepherd does. The good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep to take it up again. The good shepherd who says, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I call them by name, and they follow me. For many of you, this was one of the first things that happened to you in the world, in life. When you came up, your parents carried you up to be baptized, and Jesus, the good shepherd, spoke through one of his servant shepherds, and Jesus called your name. I baptize you, Mary, whatever your name is. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You are mine. And the good shepherd turned your life and your eternity around. 1 Peter 3:21 says, baptism now saves you. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Through the truth of first importance, you die with Christ in baptism as he takes your sins away, and you rise again because he rose first. You rise to live a new life now and forever through the power of his resurrection. Jesus was the first to rise from the dead, but he didn't want to be the last. In fact, there are a lot of firsts that Easter morning that Jesus did that he brings us along with him so we could follow him with them. Jesus, the first person ever to say how he's going to die and rise again, to predict it and then do it. But in a way, you can do that too now. Unless Jesus comes first, you can predict it. You could say, I'm going to die someday, and I will rise. And guess what? It's going to happen, because Jesus did it first. Jesus was the first to march victoriously through hell, unharmed. But not the only. No, Jesus is like the head. We who believe in him are like the body. If Jesus marched through hell, you went through with him. It can't hurt you. Jesus was the first person to get up from his grave like he was getting up from bed and make his bed. But he won't be the last. No, we'll sleep in death, but that's all it is. It's sleep. And we too will rise from our grave someday like we're getting up early from bed when we hear Jesus call our name. So many wonderful firsts that we get from our Savior Jesus, and it leads to the last first we see in this story. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. She told them the things he said to her. Mary was the first messenger of the resurrection, first human messenger. I have seen the Lord. And no, you can't be the first. She has that covered. But in a way, you can be the first. You were kind of the first ones up in Saginaw this morning on the very first day of the week to come be encouraged by that truth that's of first importance. You can do that every week. Show that this is the truth of first importance. You can be the first to share this truth with someone who hasn't heard it before, or with someone who's just gone through a tragedy, could be the first one there. Let me tell you about the resurrection. Let me tell you about my living Savior. You can be the one to say personally, this is the truth of first importance in my life, that Jesus died for my sins and rose again. You can be eager to be the first one to tell others. Jesus died and rose for you. When this comes first, everything else is changed for the better. Amen. And may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and work in you what is pleasing in his sight. Amen.